This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Here to kick off the second hour of the weekend edition, and I'm joined by a guest who I like to have on a regular basis, but unfortunately I haven't been able to touch base with him in probably a couple of months now. His name is Axel Merk, founder and president of Merk Investments. Axel, we have a lot to discuss, and now that we are in 2017, I want to start off with more of a broad comment that deals with optimism that seems to abound from U.S. investors, and also, I would say, optimistic data that has been coming out over the past about month and a half, really ever since the election. As a general comment, do you think that this optimism, these all-time highs that the markets were putting in, the dollar shooting to higher levels, overall, is this optimism founded in your eyes?
Well, the optimism may be founded. The question is whether the market's reaction is pricing ever higher asset prices is warranted. Remember, the post-election rally came of the backdrop of an expensive market moving higher. We've now had 4 years in a row where the dollar index has been moving higher. And so many people compare this to Ronald Reagan, but Ronald Reagan, yes, he gave optimism to the country, and if Trump pulls this off, he might be able to do that as well. But the context is very, very different. We had reasonably high unemployment at the time. We have now low unemployment. And so the dynamics will certainly be different. And with that, usually the sort of predictions people make might not unfold. And part of the reason, by the way, is because a lot of it might be priced in. And I'll be glad into going to various details in different sectors. But just as a word of caution, the optimism doesn't always translate to gains.
Now, Axel, let's start off with currencies, because I really like talking to you about currencies. I think that you are one of the smartest people I know in terms of movements we're seeing in currencies. The U.S. dollar, there's so much at play here. First of all, there is optimism. There is also, quite frankly, the only central bank around the world that is raising rates, albeit extremely slowly. 0.25 a year is hardly anything to be optimistic about. But we're also hearing about foreign money flows coming into the U.S. dollar to buy U.S. equities. What is your outlook for the U.S. dollar?
It depends a great deal versus what currency or what region. First, I already indicated we are 4 years in a row the dollar index has been reaching new highs. The biggest component of the dollar index is the euro, the currency everybody loves to hate. And if you look at, you just mentioned, hey, the U.S. is the only country raising rates. But keep in mind, in my view anyway, that the Fed is behind the curve, meaning inflation keeps creeping up and interest rates are not high enough to kind of prevent that from accelerating further, which means on a real basis, interest rates may actually not be moving much higher. The election priced in much higher real interest rates, and for the right reasons. If you cut regulations, real interest rates might be moving higher. The question is whether the interpretation is going to shift and it's going to price in more inflation. Now, contrast that with what happens in Europe, and let's maybe move a little bit to the north to sidestep the Eurozone-specific issues. If you take Sweden, super low negative interest rates, good growth, very low unemployment, and even inflation picking up. We had a dissent at the Swedish Riksbank about kind of engaging in more QE. And so there we have a region where I think they're going to backpedal from the ultra-low monetary policy, and that's going to then narrow the interest rate differential. So it doesn't mean that the U.S. is not raising rates, but it does mean that there's so much super good news priced into the dollar that we might see a surprise there, and the Swedish krona might be beating the dollar. If you take the euro, the euro has increasingly acting like the yen used to act, meaning that it's a funding currency. It's a quote-unquote safe haven currency, and that might sound perverse, but what's been happening is that when markets tumble, the euro often rises. And the reason is that people borrow in euros. It's cheap to borrow in euros. Warren Buffett and many corporate executives in the U.S. borrow in euros these days. That means that when risk is off, when markets tumble, they repay the loans. Maybe not Warren Buffett, but speculators do, and that gives an upward move to the euro. If you take the Chinese renminbi, we used to be positive until about 18 months ago on China, but the Chinese have been backpedaling on many of the reforms, doing that at an accelerated pace, introducing capital controls. European companies are complaining they can't take their profits out anymore. I think we are foreseeing trouble for the renminbi. And so we've been a negative on that. If you take the Mexican peso, well, Mexico exports a great deal to the U.S. and is really going to be the prime victim of the Trump policy, so to speak. And so the question is how much is priced in, but nobody wants to touch the peso right now. More broadly speaking, emerging markets are most vulnerable. Now, if we do have a trade war, and who knows what's that's going to happen, there's going to be winners and losers. I would not think that the dollar is the winner versus the major currency, but should be the winner versus many of the emerging market currencies.
Okay, very interesting there, Axel. A lot to cover because you are right. You do need to look at the dollar not in a vacuum, more in a broad sense and compare it to different currencies. But one thing that has been interesting is a lot of countries around the world selling their treasury holdings. And this has had an impact on yields. It's also had an impact, obviously, on treasury bonds. But do you see this trend continuing? Because it is a sign of continued weakness, especially in China, let's even say Saudi Arabia as well.
I think there are two major reasons why treasuries are being sold. One is because there is capital outflow in places like China, and so they want to support their currencies. As there is tension in some of these places, holdings will be reduced. But then there's the other one, and I think we once spent a segment on that. It has to do with structural changes on how funding takes place in the world. I just mentioned that corporate America is getting funding in Europe. Well, it's not just the lower interest rates in the Eurozone. It's also because of regular changes in the U.S. where a lot of these entities used to get their funding from money market funds in the U.S. And without getting into too much detail, a lot of the funding advantage that used to take place has vanished. And that means there's no longer this incentive to get the funding in the U.S. for companies in emerging markets, which means then they don't need to sell the dollar to buy the currencies anymore, which means then those governments don't need to neutralize these things anymore with treasury purchases. And so I think structurally there will be fewer treasury purchases, and that means a couple of things in the long run. In the long run, it means the globe might be a more stable place because it's less dependent on dollar funding, but it might also mean that the borrowing cost for the U.S. government in the long run might be going up because foreign governments are buying fewer treasuries. Doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow, but it's yet another thing to pay attention to. And by the way, even though everybody's optimistic, I don't think we can afford terribly high borrowing costs given where the trajectory of our budgets are in the U.S.
Well, that's a whole other topic that we can chat about in the next segment. But that's an interesting comment that you're saying, that the funding methods that are being used around the world and what central banks and even big corporations are doing is changing. We are seeing a shift more to, I guess, utilizing these different interest rates in different parts of the world. And this is a trend that you see continuing on with?
I see that continuing, but accelerating. And for full disclosure, I do think I am one of the few people cautioning about it under fundamental structural change. Most people you'll talk to will just say, hey, these are issues in emerging markets. I do think we see fundamental changes on how the globe is getting its funding, and that will have longer-term ramifications. And so I think we do have to pay very close attention to that. The treasury holdings of various countries are just a symptom of that we shall be watching.
Well, Axel, we will be having you on next segment because I do want to continue our conversation about some of the inflation statistics that you are seeing and also talk about investing in commodities. But your comments there about currencies and about the way that the world is going to be getting its funding, I would agree with you. I do think that we are moving in a different trend. Now, I know that you're a bit more well-versed than me in this, so I hope that we can continue to watch these situations, but when it comes down to central banks around the world, they have gotten the situation in such a horrible position that now I do think that these central banks will be scrambling when we either do see inflation start to get out of hand, and just simply if we do start to see some pretty severe market corrections. As a final note before we wrap this up, Axel is doing a webinar next week. If anybody wants to sign up for that, just click on the link at kereport.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G, LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix, and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm, a principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with our conversation with Axel Merck. Axel, I want to get right into it and touch on inflation. It's been popping up in the headlines. data points that have been coming out of the U.S. and also out of China and even Europe have shown a slight uptick in inflation. Now, it's not getting out of hand right now, but there has been a worry that central banks, especially the Fed, will be behind the curve and we will be having negative real rates. Where do you stand on this recent uptick in inflation?
Yes, a couple of things. First, the market has been pricing in that we have had very little inflation, and all this optimism that's been coming in after the election has been about higher real growth, less regulations, translating to more investors, more real growth. But there are really two threats of inflation. One is the kind of the one that everybody sees, which is through higher energy prices. Central banks are generally not too concerned about that. Europe does have very significant uptick in inflation, and we'll have more in the coming weeks, but we see that in the U.S. a little bit as well. The other one, though, and that's more U.S.-specific and rather concerning, is the creeping push-cost wage inflation. In the most recent January unemployment report, close to 3% year-over-year changes in inflation in upward pressures on wages, and why employees might be happy about that, those are the sort of inflationary pressures that are very difficult for a central bank to combat. And Janet Yellen, as the head of the Fed, is in my view, somebody who's reading tea leaves and very, very slow to react. So in my view, she's falling further behind the curve, and those sort of pressures will move higher. In particular, if you look at it now, with the new administration suggesting they're going to have an infrastructure spending. If you have an infrastructure spending on a backdrop of low unemployment, the primary thing you're going to get is more inflation. And so I do think, yes, inflation is going to be an issue looking forward.
So how will this impact what the Fed does, what Trump does, and what will happen to the U.S. economy? Because central banks have wanted inflation to come back in, and initially, when they all started their QE programs, everybody was worried about inflation. And quite frankly, all we saw was inflation in the financial markets. Now it almost seems like individuals are celebrating a bit of inflation coming back into the system, but that's not necessarily good, is it?
Well, the early phases of inflation make you feel great, and that's exactly what we see, and that includes a rally in stock prices. I happen to obviously focus more on financial markets in general, and I happen to think that we have seen a multi-decade low in bond yields, meaning that bond prices will fall and yields will continue to rise. It's not going to happen in a straight line. And so overall, the financing cost globally, and the U.S. in particular, in my view, is going to rise, and that's going to create all kinds of havoc. One of the reasons why equity prices are so high is because interest rates are so low. And as bond yields rise, I do think there's a threat to equity prices as well. Now, how is the Fed going to react? Well, a couple of things. First, do keep in mind that Janet Yellen's term is coming to an end in a year from now. And so at the middle of the year or so, people are going to think she is going to be a lame duck. She might want to move more aggressively now that she is kind of freed from this notion that she's going to continue to serve. That said, that's not in her nature. She is looking at every single excuse out there not to act. And then ultimately, the market is tying her hands. One of the things that has happened in this long recovery is that we've based on an asset price inflation. And a central bank can hike rates regardless of what happens to the stock market, unless they've created a bubble. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of a Fed president who mentioned that to me just after he retired. He then didn't specify whether he thought that we created a bubble, but that's really the challenge. We don't have the flexibility as we had in the early 80s to really combat inflation because we've driven debt and asset prices to such highs.
Okay, excellent. Let's now focus on the precious metals and even hard assets for that matter. That after the election, we saw base metals go through a nice run. As I mentioned, precious metals were beat up halfway through the year. And for precious metals, there seems to be this push and pull right now. Pulling the price down is, I think, this higher dollar, this distraction that everything is going to be great in the U.S. economy and the markets are moving up. But the possibility of rising metals prices can just be looked at negative interest, negative real interest rates, and this inflation. Where do you stand?
Well, optimism isn't a distraction. I do think it's obviously something very, very important. Gold is a brick. It's an unproductive asset. And so why would anybody buy that? They buy it because they think you get compensated more by holding a brick than holding cash. because, as you point out, real interest rates might be negative. Now, if you have an expectation that there's going to be more real growth, well, gold is going to suffer, as it has towards the end of last year. The question then is, well, is it all going to be rosy, or maybe is the reality more shades of gray, and maybe things aren't going to be quite as perfect? And that is where I think the market is going to then shift from its focus on higher real rates to higher inflation. So it's going to be that mix that's going to be relevant. And also what's going to be relevant is the context of what's going to happen to equity prices. If we do get higher rates, if everything is great, equity prices is going to continue to zoom ahead. But if equity prices are going to tumble, people are going to look for ways to diversify. And how do you diversify in a world when both equities and bonds are expensive? And there, gold is an easy answer, maybe the easiest answer. I'm not saying it's always the best answer, but it's an easy answer because people understand that the correlation is low. It's not perfectly low. Sometimes it moves in tandem with other markets. But the problem is in today's environment, if you want to go beyond that, you're really going to go to more sophisticated long-short strategies, be that currencies, equities, or something else that are very difficult to understand. And so that's one of the reasons people veer towards gold. Now, in my view, in the long run, if you look at the agenda of the new administration, and by the way, the Democrats were no different, there is really nothing that fixes entitlements in the current agenda. And so with that, I continue to have my concerns that in a decade from now, it might be very difficult to have positive real interest rates. And ultimately, it's the battle that we've always had, right? I mean, why do you hold gold when there are other opportunities out there? And the reason is it might be a good diversifier. It's with hindsight, gold has usually been a good investment over many years. And people always think, oh my God, can I do it going forward? To me, in a world where quote unquote everything is expensive, gold is a valuable diversifier. But yes, the quote unquote threat of higher real rates is a headwind. And the question is whether everything is going to be implemented perfectly and we'll live happily ever after. If we weren't in this environment where things are priced to perfection, I'd be more cautious. But because, quote-unquote, everything is expensive, with an exception of gold, I happen to think gold is cheap compared to many other things, I happen to continue to think that gold is a very, very good diversifier.
And in the long term, I would very much agree with you. It's just right now there is so much optimism that abounds from Trump coming into office. I do think that this optimism has absolutely gotten ahead of itself. And I think that gold has been almost shunned as the safe haven asset over the last number of years. Even the pops that we've seen just haven't been the same. And I think a lot of that comes down to the psychology of the investors right now looking at the U.S. and continuing to think that this is the strongest hand. But I think that's all going to change this year. Either way, we will see. Axel, always great chatting with you. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello again. My name is Gary Clark. I'm the actor who's turning 80 in August who played the part of Steve on the 1960s Western TV series, The Virginian. Now, those of you who've suffered the side effects of prescribed medicines know what I'm talking about. And those of you who have watched the devastating effects that worrying about you has had on your loved ones. And what I shared a few months ago is only part of the story. I neglected to mention how One World Whey protein powder has affected my life. Now, I realize this is not dinner table conversation, but here goes anyway. One World Whey solved my irregularity. I've been plagued with constipation for years, and I thought it would be that way for the rest of my life. 3 weeks on One World Whey set me on a new path. That was 5 months ago, and I haven't been irregular since. Will it work the same way for you? I don't know. It worked for me.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves. Home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today. Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the second hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed the last two segments with Axel Merk. He really is, I think, an expert, not just in currencies, but also understanding what's going on in a global sense in terms of the financial markets. Now, somebody else that we have on the show on a regular basis is Mr. Valentin Schmidt, the business editor of the Epoch Times. Valentin, I go to you regularly for some information on China, and I've been reading a lot of recent articles that have been talking about the capital outflows coming from China, as well as the continued slowdown that China in general is experiencing. Before we get too much into some of the data points, what's your take on the ongoing situation, the ongoing capital outflows coming out of China?
Yeah, Corey, thanks a lot. Well, the capital outflow story is interesting because it started actually in August. Well, actually, you know what? We have been tracking reports and stuff that says there have been a lot of illicit capital outflows out of China for like 10 years, you know, where people, especially corrupt people, bring their ill-gotten gains and stuff it in a place very close to you, Vancouver real estate. So that has been going on for a while. When it really, really started to hit was, I think, in 2014, and that's when we first saw also in the markets that the Chinese currency came under pressure, which at that point was a complete novelty because until then, it was only they had to manipulate it down. And since basically end of 2014, that was also the peak of Chinese foreign exchange reserves. They had to manipulate the currency up to prevent it from crashing. And they lost $1 trillion in the FX reserve. Capital outflows have been around $600-700 billion in 2015, and the same amount in 2016, depending on which estimates you use. So the actual, we talked about this a bit. So the actual number of foreign exchange reserves, a part of which is the United States Treasuries, not all of the foreign exchange reserves and Treasuries, a big part is not all of it. So, so you have $1 trillion in FX reserves, and about $1.5 trillion in capital outflows. And that's A, because there's different assets that are bought because the Chinese are exchanging the local currency into foreign assets. And actually, it's funny that the central bank is supplying them the assets through the foreign exchange reserves through different channels because they want to keep the currency stable. So you have, so they lost $1 trillion of that, $1.5 trillion in capital outflows also because China keeps getting money through the trade account, through trade. They have still have a current account surplus, so they get money, but it's not capital that they are getting. It's purely on a payments basis, on a temporary basis, they're having inflows, and it's not a capital there that they're accumulating. The capital is going out of China, and that has been going on since 2014. Why? Mostly because the big China story at that point in time, it was the beginning of the end. The growth had slowed down. But most importantly, it's not, you know, growth is not that important for a currency. If you look at the Japanese yen, it has been pretty strong, even though they have been growing for 20 years. It's really what happens in the credit system, because what is a currency? A currency is not like you're going to ship a couple of dollar bills back and forth. You can't even do that. You know, you can only take 10,000. Gold is limited too. So what are you actually buying? It's bank deposits. Like if I transfer money to Canada, I'm buying Canadian bank deposits. I'm exchanging American bank deposits for Canadian bank deposits. And the same is true if I do the same from China. And you have the Chinese banking system also during that time expanding by, I don't know, $15-16 trillion. So you have that money supply going up exponentially, and you don't have it doing anything productive. All they did was do some more infrastructure, keep some bad companies afloat, some state-owned companies. So the people realize, well, wait a second, this money isn't going anywhere, but I own it in my savings account. I don't want to have it, so I'm going to exchange for foreign currency. And that's exactly what happened, despite the fact that the economy has been officially growing still 6% and probably in reality 2%. So it's not about the economic growth. It's about what happens on the banking side. How much does the banking system expand, and how much do the people believe in that expansion? And the Chinese people finally realize, okay, this is not going anywhere, and the currency is either going to devalue or there's going to be inflation. So they're diversifying into foreign assets, and they're buying gold and they're buying Bitcoin. And the government's doing their best to stop it, instituting new capital control. You know, they say, oh, we're going to liberalize, but actually, no, they're not. For example, whereas previously you could just exchange $50,000 per year, now you have to tell them what you're going to do with that money. And the companies, they have, if they want to buy, you know, last year they bought, Chinese companies bought, you know, everything they could get their hands on, from, you know, appliance makers to soccer players. And it didn't matter. You know, there was no strategic connection often whatsoever, and they also increase the controls of that, and they lower the threshold when you have to get approval, and all this kind of stuff. So China is trying to clamp down. Now they say they're going to regulate Bitcoin exchanges, all this these type of games they're playing to prevent the outflows. But the fundamental driver is the Chinese people saying, we don't believe in our banking system and we want to diversify our assets.
So China has been such a big driver around the world, I think, or at least a lot of people have pointed to China as huge commodity consumers, plus a country that has actually just vastly increased the amount of debt within their country. What kind of repercussions around the world do you see happening from a more slowdown in China, maybe even a collapse of China?
Well, look, I've been negative on China for a long time, in as much as I challenge the mainstream view that, you know, the Chinese have perfected statism and they figured out a way to make it work indefinitely. That's rubbish. What the Chinese did was they expanded the money. It's like printing money in the banking system. And then it depends, you know, printing money is not per se a bad thing, like a lot of the Austrians tell you. It depends on what you do with that money. If you invest that money in productive uses that will generate growth later on, then it doesn't matter how much you print. It's like the same with government debt. You can borrow $10 trillion in the United States, invest it in infrastructure, fund it through the Federal Reserve. Nobody cares. However, if you waste that money and you don't invest it in things that generate growth, but rather just boost GDP for a year or so, then you have a problem, because then that money keeps sloshing around in the system and will create inflation. And the problem, like I said, that the people don't believe it anymore. Now, strategic, but on the other hand, it doesn't mean that all the debt needs to lead to a financial crisis. So the Japanese, actually the funny thing is, they also had a massive debt bubble. They invested in an unproductive real estate and in zombie banks and companies, but they didn't have a financial crisis. Yeah, one or two banks went bankrupt, but that's about it. They just had no growth for 20 years, and that could happen in China. They could easily swipe the debt, even though it's massive, under the carpet, because they have all the, you know, they can game their accounting rules. They can do anything they like. It's a totalitarian country, so they can do anything to control that, to not have this cascade of defaults that you have in a freer country like in the United States. When one bank goes bankrupt, you know, everything else, like Lehman Brothers, everything else goes down the tubes. So that's not good. Plus, they don't have to have the bank go bankrupt. They can bail it out by printing more money, sweep it under the carpet. They've done that before. So it doesn't have to be a crisis, but at the same time, they wasted so much actual physical resources. Like you say, they imported all the cement from Australia and all that stuff. That's, most of that is wasted. They wasted, you know, a billion people you have working on this stuff. Wasted effort. No growth is going to come from that. And there's nothing they can do against that. The time and effort and capital they've wasted will never come back. And they're still stuck in the middle income trap. And forget about this rebalancing toward consumption, etc. This is not going to happen. Never happened in a communist sort of type of economy. So the best you're going to get out of China for the next 10, 20 years is stability and no growth. And the worst you're going to get, if they really mismanage it, then you can have an international fallout and a crisis.
All right. Well, there you have it from Valentin Schmidt. I always appreciate your insights into what you think is going on with China, digging a bit deeper under the numbers. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com and use promo code radio to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, I have a relatively new guest on the show, but I think a guest that everybody should be familiar with, especially those people that follow along with the Mises Institute. I have on the line with me Dr. Walter Block. He is the professor of economics at Loyola University. He was also the former senior economist at the Fraser Institute. I met Dr. Block back at the Mises Circle down in Seattle, and he had some great things to say. I've recently met him for lunch up in Vancouver, and I wanted to bring him on the show to get his opinion, more of a libertarian view, as to what the U.S. economy is in for now with Trump entering office. So, Dr. Block, I'll throw it over to you first in terms of the optimism that seems to be around, at least in the markets, for what Trump is able to do. How do you feel about the U.S. economy once it is under the power of President Trump?
Well, I'm vaguely positive about him. I supported him against Hillary, although as a libertarian, I also supported Gary Johnson. What I said was that if you're in a red or a blue state, where either Hillary or Donald will win big, then vote for Gary so he gets the votes. On the other hand, if you're in a purple state, go for Donald. He's the last thing we want is Hillary. So why am I vaguely optimistic or a little enthusiastic? My main reason and my main reason for supporting Donald was not the economics narrowly concerned, but economics broadly construed, and that is peace. Donald said he can get along with Putin. Hillary called him a Hitler. If we had a World War III with nuclear exchanges, that would be very bad for the economy. It would also be bad in other ways, but it would be very bad for the economy. And Hillary exulted in knocking over Libya. Donald said, what were we doing in Libya? And the same thing for Iraq. And Hillary wanted to have a no-fly zone in Syria. And guess who's flying planes in Syria? Russia. So we would have had a confrontation leading to a nuclear conflagration. So I'm mainly in support of Donald because I regard him as the peace candidate. I regard him as a follower of George Washington, who said no entangling alliances. I regard him as a follower of John Quincy Adams, said we shouldn't go abroad searching for dragons to destroy. So that's my main reason for supporting him. Another reason was he was against political correctness, which irks me to no end. But now let's talk about economics, maybe more narrowly construed. And here, the Donald is a little bit better than Hillary, and maybe in some cases equally bad, but in no cases worse. For example, a trade. Donald is not a free trader. I'm a free trader. I believe in the Hong Kong system where you declare unilateral free trade with everyone. Even if they put tariffs on your product, you don't put tariffs on their products. It's sort of like two men in a rowboat. One idiot shoots a hole in it. Should the other guy shoot another hole in it? No. The hole here would be putting on tariffs against the other people's products. But then again, Hillary is no free trader either, so call it a tie.
Now, Dr. Block, sorry if I could jump in here. What do you think about Trump's plan of bringing back onshore into the U.S. a lot of corporate profits, money essentially, that is being held by these multinational corporations around the world, not in the U.S.?
Well, here I give him, one step forward and one step backward. The step forward is he wants to reduce corporate taxes, which I think are something like 35% or the highest in the industrialized world, and Hillary would keep them there. And Donald is saying, no, we got to lower it. And taxes to me are the four-letter F word, and the less taxes we have, the better. And certainly more money will come in to the United States from United States corporations that are located in Europe and elsewhere, Asia. And so that's all to the good, and that's very, very good. On the other hand, this bit with Carrier air conditioning and Ford and telling them that you better locate your plant here and don't you dare move out to Mexico. Well, that's fascism. That's economic fascism. That's not cool. What we should have as a society in the United States is not this sort of retail, you know, ordering people around, which is, as I say, fascism. Rather, what we should have is general rules that encourage growth and productivity and reduce unemployment. So I think that his jawboning and whining and threatening corporations is very bad. What he ought to do instead is just lower their taxes. And if they their taxes were lowered, the invisible hand of Adam Smith would then keep them in the U.S. To a greater degree or to a great degree, and it would be done through free enterprise. So I give him half credit. Lowering corporate taxes is very good, and threatening corporations is very bad.
So you do think that if Trump just simply lowers taxes on corporations, then that will be enough encouragement to keep a lot of the manufacturing jobs and even bring some manufacturing jobs back to the U.S.?
Yes, I think so. And I also think if you want to keep manufacturing jobs in the U.S., what you have to do is get rid of unions. It's true, the private sector unionization rate is only in single digits. I think it's 6%, 7%, 8%, whereas it used to be something like 30%. But still, unions are very malevolent. Look, we have a Rust Belt in the United States. Where is the Rust Belt? The northeastern quadrant of the country, stretching from Illinois to Massachusetts. And why is it? I mean, if it were due to Mexicans or Chinese or foreigners, the Rust Belt would be evenly spread out throughout the country. But no, it's in the northeast quadrant. Why? Well, one answer is the northeast quadrant is where unionism mainly holds sway. And you get runaway shops. I used to teach at the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Mass. And there were many, many empty factories, gigantic factories. Where'd they go? Well, they went to Alabama, they went to Kentucky, they went to, Mississippi, places like that, South Carolina, North Carolina, where you have right-to-work states. Not that I favor right-to-work, but it's better than unions. So I think that another policy that he should uphold would be damping down on unions as much as he possibly could.
So do you think that if he is able to bring back some manufacturing jobs, then that really will help out the middle class or establish even more of a middle class in the U.S.?
Well, I think so, yes. If he lowered taxes and lowered tariffs, I think that would be very good. Now, some people say, well, the reason manufacturing jobs are going away is because of new high tech. But in there's plenty of new high tech that Americans could do instead of making cars of steel or something, or not making as many cars in steel, making more computers and more high tech manufacturing jobs. Yes, I think I'm a big fan of the free enterprise system. And my solution to pretty much every problem, whether personal or economic, is let's have more free enterprise. So, yes, I think that the middle class would do much better under a laissez-faire capitalist society than they would under socialism or economic fascism.
Okay, one final comment here. Dr. Block, we only have about a minute and a half left, but you must not like the tack that he's taken with China then, talking about all these trade barriers and calling them currency manipulators.
You're right. I don't much like that. I don't see. I mean, he's very good on Russia. He's not calling Putin a Hitler, but he's got a bug in his rear end about China. You know, the Chinese are eating our lunch. They're producing goods at a cheaper price. Look, when China produces a sweater or a pair of shoes at a cheaper price, that means that the Americans who buy that have money left over that they wouldn't have otherwise had left over had they had to buy American, shoes or a sweater or whatever. And with that extra money, they can save it, which would lower the interest rate and encourage more manufacturing, or they could spend it on other things. And these other things would create jobs. Look, the problem is not to create jobs. The problem is unemployment. And the reason we have so much unemployment is unions and minimum wage laws. Here is another point where Donald is better than Hillary. Hillary wanted a $15 hour minimum wage. The issue was pushed into it by my buddy Bernie Sanders. Donald is very unclear about the minimum wage, but the minimum wage doesn't really hurt the middle class, but it hurts the underclass. It creates vast unemployment for them, which is no good for anyone.
Well, we will need to end it here, but Dr. Block, it's great chatting with you, and there is so much to talk about in terms of the economy with Trump coming in as president, and personally, I just can't wait until he finally is in office and we get to see what happens. Everybody, I hope you did enjoy this weekend show. As always, it's great putting it together, and as always, come by kereport.com, check out our daily editorials. Everybody, have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me on your show.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com. We'll be right back.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.